your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back. Today's guest, Sarah Mack, grew up in the UK singing and dancing and believed, of course, that a career in the performing arts was the one for her. She followed her heart and manifested opportunity after opportunity. And within just a few years, she became a huge success. Actually, she was on the verge of burnout, because there are a whole lot of people that are more than happy to exploit creatives who are looking for their break. Well, Sarah is one of the smart ones, because she did not take her ball and go home and go into a corporate career. She is a bona fide creative. So she did some traveling, she healed her burnout, and she started experimenting with different ways that she could make a living while having a life of freedom and continuing to be a creative. Little by little, she figured out she's actually very good at not only manifesting opportunities, but at helping other people with their mindset. Sarah Mack is now dividing her time between Montreal and New York. She is a podcaster. She is a rapper. She does video. She teaches people how to authentically show up online. And most importantly, she helps other artists, coaches, and healers create their own successful online business. We have a very lively and interesting conversation. If you are a creative, especially if you are a multi-passionate creative and desperately trying to figure out how you can support yourself doing something you love, this one's for you. Well, I always love talking to other female entrepreneurs and coaches, especially those who are creative, who work with creatives, and have an interesting story to tell. And that is exactly who we are talking to today. Welcome to Sarah Mack, who has an interesting story of being a refugee from the entertainment business, where there are certainly plenty of opportunities to burn out, which is exactly what happened. And she reinvented herself not once, but twice along the way. In the meanwhile, visiting many countries and creating a lifestyle that she now teaches other people to do. So welcome. I cannot wait to get into all the juicy details.
Thank you, Diane. So happy to be here.
How far back do you want to go in telling your story? Because what we're going to talk about today is the importance of storytelling, the fact that our own stories matter, and sometimes the things that we take for granted because this is just who we are and it doesn't seem that important can actually be the gateway to a brand new career. So do you think everyone has a story?
Yes. And I think that's wisdom that I gained from all of the travel. Because I think it's so easy when you live in the place where you're from to think that everybody's the same and there's nothing special about me because you're very similar to the people that you grow up around. But as soon as you leave and you go to a different country or a different culture or a different environment or neighborhood where you just are different from everybody else, you discover that actually everybody's interesting. Everybody has a story. Everybody's interesting to someone. And I didn't really notice that until I went traveling and just discovered how everyone was really interested in me because I was different, because I was from a different place. And I was really interested in them because they were new to me as well. And that's when I really just discovered that everybody is interesting when you're put in front of someone who finds you interesting. And so I think our challenge as human beings is to acknowledge that within ourselves, that we are all really interesting. And our lives are so unique, even when we are surrounded by people who are very similar to us, we're actually not the same at all. And it's so fun to discover what makes us different.
Well, your first career was in the entertainment business. And I mean, for someone who loves stories and appreciates stories, that is all about storytelling? I mean, what are songs and movies and TV shows, but different forms of storytelling? But what attracted you to that field to begin with? Why did you go that direction?
So I grew up as a dancer and in the theater. So I grew up just outside of London, and the theater in that part of the world is just incredible. And I was in the theater all the time growing up, either performing or watching amazing plays and musical theater. And I love to sing and dance and act. And then I went to university for drama. And that was when I first took an introduction to film. And that was really my first experience of really diving into the understanding of film as a medium. And I just got really hooked and was really curious and really fascinated by it. And I started, you know, taking more courses, and I made my first documentary, which was terrible. And
the first one always,
you know,
is, right?
Dabbling with editing and yeah. And then that's when I kind of got the idea that film would be a really good industry to build a career in, because, you know, theater, building a career in theater is notoriously challenging and notoriously quite underpaid. But there's, I just recognized that there was a lot of opportunity to, you know, as a creative field, to build a career in that industry. And so that's kind of what drew me to it.
Did you start in Great Britain, or did you come to the States and start your entertainment career there?
Yeah, so I knew that it was hard to break into that industry, so I had been told. And so I knew, you know, I'd heard the way to get in was by volunteering and building connections. So I volunteered for an arts festival in Manchester, and I was working with a producer who was working for the festival, and she was also a TV producer. And then it coincidentally, some of my friends who I used to write and perform theater with, they lived in a big house, a big student house in Manchester, and the BBC, which is the national TV channel in the UK, for those of you who don't know, they knocked on the door and asked if they could use it as a location for a scene in a TV series. And I bumped into my friends on the street. They told me about it. And I was like, you know, they knew I'd just finished university. I was looking for work in film and TV. So I said, can you get me, you know, and they said, you can only use our house if we can all be extras in the show. And so they were like, okay. And I was like, I'd spent so much time at that house anyway. I was like, tell them that I live with you and that I can come and be on the show as well. So I got to be in this big kind of party scene in the house, and I went to the trailer, and it was the same producer that I'd been volunteering for. And I, you know, handed in my resume and was like, I'm looking for TV work. And then she gave me my first job. So it was just, you know, the stars kind of aligned. And then after that first job, the rest was history. And I just kept booking more and more work and eventually started working in films. I worked in a couple of films down in London and then decided I wanted to travel more. And I had been on exchange in Canada. And so when I was out there, I heard that the industry was really thriving in Vancouver and that it was a very beautiful place to live. So I applied for a visa to go out and work in Vancouver. So that's what I did after that.
It's like a fairy tale, because I grew up in Los Angeles. I've known many, many, many people who've tried to break into the entertainment business, and many, many years later, still can do it. I know you believe in magic. And do you think there was magic involved in making things seemingly happen easily for you, or was it something else?
Yeah. So my understanding of magic is when we get clear on what we really, truly want and desire, and then we take action from a place that we believe it's possible, that's really when magic happens. And I feel like that's just how you create opportunities, and that's how opportunities unfold for you. And I think you have to go in with that willingness of, I feel like the key is when you identify that something you really want and you know it's right for you and you've made that connection and you have that feeling because you're genuinely excited by it, that you're willing to keep taking action until you get there. I think that's the magic, because then you don't put too much pressure on anything. You're just like, oh, I'm going to do this and this is going to be the thing that works for me. And if this isn't the thing that works for me, then I'll figure something out after that and I'll try another thing. And I think that's really the key, is having that openness and being willing to keep taking action until you make it happen.
That's a perfect explanation, Sarah, that I think anyone listening, whether they believe in manifesting and attraction and abundance, or they just believe in nose to the grindstone and, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, hustle and grind till you get there, whichever way feels most comfortable and in alignment with your values, if you believe that this is your path, you are fully committed to sticking with it, no matter what happens, for as long as it takes, because you know this is what you're meant to do, and you keep doing it, to me, success is inevitable. There's so many people that say, oh, must be nice, must be easy. She's young, she's pretty, she's this, she's that, she's got connections, she just came from an entrepreneurial family, whatever it is. The bottom line is the people who reach the winner's circle are the ones who refuse to quit. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. You're in alignment with your intention and your goal, and you keep doing it. And so you're right. I had mentioned to you earlier that I am a practicing Buddhist. And one of the things I think is important about that is practicing non-attachment. I like to bring this into business in that I don't have to be attached to any one thing going my way, because if it's on the path, no one thing has to take that much responsibility or that much importance. If it didn't turn out the way I thought, maybe it isn't the right timing, or maybe I won't see the results until later. I just take the next step. And you're right. When you take the pressure off, it can feel much more joyful, and you can really appreciate every step of the path instead of thinking, oh, that didn't work out. Because a lot of people are always saying ROI, ROI. What's the return on investment? Why did you waste your time doing that? I think no time is ever wasted, ever, if you are looking to get something out of it. And I know that you feel the same. So you ended up eventually burning out in the entertainment industry. With everything going so well from the beginning, how did that happen?
So it was a combination of many, many different things. One of them being that I was doing a master's in film studies, and I would go and work for the season in the summer in Vancouver and like hustle, take all the jobs that I could so that I could save up money to basically last me throughout the winter while I was studying in Montreal. And, you know, typical multi-passionate creative / immigrant opportunist, I was, and plus the fact that Montreal was literally my happiest place on earth, and that there's just so many fun things to do when you're a creative person. And, you know, it's very accessible. And you know, the fact that I'd been given this opportunity, I had funding to do the master's program at that point. So I was like, I want to juice this opportunity. I was taking extra classes. I was working on film projects. I was getting into photography. And, you know, there's so much incredible music and dance performance and events in
you
Montreal.
Said yes
and I was
to
really
everything.
Just like a kid. Yeah, I said yes to everything, and I was having the time of my life. But my body was like, no, you're not 15 anymore, and you've been working really, really hard. And plus, it was my Saturn return. I think I was just due for really, you know, giving myself some space to really listen to myself. And I think I'd realized, I think for a long time, that working in film crew, you know, I was working in production, I was driving people around, I was doing art department, which is not actually that creative at the level that I was doing it at. No. It was really like being in the army. And I had a really good time doing it and got to see tons of, you know, incredible locations around British Columbia and worked with loads of amazing people. But at the same time, being a woman in like a majority male crew, I was just frustrated for, you know, being treated like for surface level. No one was really interested in my creativity or what, you know, what I was capable of. And I didn't, looking at the heads of all of the departments, there was none of them that I saw that I was like, I don't want to end up there. So what am I doing here? So I knew that that wasn't the career path for me. And I wanted to do something where I had more creative freedom to express myself. And I was really kind of sick of working with so many men, even though there was, you know, some amazing ones, there was some really fucking annoying ones. And, and I was, you know, sick of being treated like the hot girl on set and having these types of low level conversations to sift through on on a daily basis. So
doesn't
I knew
exactly
there was something
raise your
different.
Vibe, does
I
it?
Didn't really know. No, exactly. And now I work purely with women and I love it.
It's an interesting thing to learn, is that it's a very different environment working with women. But did you have to reach a physical breaking point, or you just kind of thought, you know what? I think it's a very important and very smart decision to make to look ahead. Do I want to be any of these people? Do I want to end up there? Because if I stay on this path, that's exactly where it's leading. You're like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no, it was really my body that forced the decision for me, because I would start getting headaches at 6 o'clock. I had to, I had to unenroll from a few of the courses I was taking, and it took me a year longer to complete my master's. And I went through periods of severe depression, really chronic fatigue I had for 5 years, and really was challenged by very, very low energy levels. I thought I had a diagnosis of ADHD at the time, but since, a lot of those symptoms have gone away, since I was just tired. I was exhausted, from doing so much writing. And I was doing a lot of philosophy too, and what I was reading in my master's, which is actually very taxing, analytically and mentally, and a lot of writing, a lot of papers. So it was a lot of different types of energy expenditure and not a lot of recovery, and not a lot of financial means for what it was that I was taking on. And, and I was also going through kind of an awakening. I met my partner at that time, and that was the first time I ever really felt safe to kind of let go and to feel how I feel, and to kind of, I think, there was a lot of childhood trauma that I hadn't processed. And so a lot of that just started to process for me, and I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know how to deal with, these emotional experiences that I'd obviously numbed myself out from for the majority of my life. A lot of that doing through staying busy and focusing on things that I loved. And that was kind of when I started hypnotherapy, and a lot of stuff started coming to the surface for me to really look at and process and really learn how to process the more challenging emotions. I think because I finally had the resources and the support to be able to do that. And my body was like, it's time. And you really, and the safety. Yeah, exactly. And it was time for me to really start listening to myself. And one of the key pieces in all of this, and I always get so excited when I hear about other people who pick up this book, which is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
I love it.
So I started doing a lot of free writing. And I think that I had the space when I was a student to just, and I had the freedom to study whatever I wanted. And I think I'd never really experienced that much freedom before, where I was like, oh, I get to pick and focus on what I want to focus on. And that was just incredible for me. And so I really started to listen to myself and ask myself, well, what do I want? And how do I feel? And what really excites me? And, in that listening, so much came up.
I so appreciate everything that you've just shared, Sarah, because so many multi-passionate, creative women are running after all the things. I want to do this. 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 Some of them legitimately have a diagnosis of ADHD. Others do not. But who knew that that frenzy of experience had some roots in childhood trauma? You literally cannot outrun your trauma, but man, do we try. So I think it's a story well told, that when you finally came to a place of safety and security, you were able to start unpacking that and exploring that. And, sometimes we are high energy people who need to do a lot. And sometimes we are literally running from ourselves, but we're having so much excitement and fun. We don't think there's anything negative about it at all until we're face down. And it's like, well, maybe that's not the whole story. So it's a beautiful unfolding that in a way you can be grateful to that burnout experience, because you might still be running if it wasn't for that. Hey, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Driven Woman podcast and looking forward to each new episode every Tuesday. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Visit my website at DianeWingardCoaching.com. I have a weekly blog. There's a quiz you can take to find out what your ADHD signature strength is. and some other freebies like the 6 Steps to ADHD Mastery or the Driven Woman Roadmap Fast Track to Success. And if you're ready to get serious about going from spinning to winning and taking yourself from driven but distracted to focused, fired up, and flame retardant, you should definitely sign up for a free consultation. We'll spend 30 minutes talking about where you are, where you want to be, and whatever's getting in the way. I won't try to sell you if you're not right for coaching, and I'm not the right one for you. But if you are, this might be the best way to make 2021 your best year ever. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Have a listen to this.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means. No one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
Yeah, totally. It was like my body decided before I was mentally ready to make the change.
That's sure. Usually how it goes, though. But from there, you made some decisions and did some healing and then some reinventing. At what point did you start your travels and begin to earn your living as a copywriter?
So it all started with, you know, when I was journaling and getting clear on what I wanted. Like, the only thing I really knew that I wanted was to be location independent, because I knew that I love travel. And that was one thing that just made me really happy. And I'd already been traveling quite a bit at that point. And so I had, you know, my family were back in England. I had friends out on the West Coast. I had friends on the East Coast after I moved to Montreal to study there. And I just knew I never wanted to be locked down. And I never wanted to have to say no to something or to not be able to be with the people that I love because of a work commitment. So I knew I wanted to be location independent. And working online was something that really appealed to me. I had no idea what that was going to look like. I just knew that looked really amazing and that I wanted it. And then this was, you know, like one of those moments where it's like you identify what you want and then opportunities start to show up for you. And a friend of mine invited me out to work on a business that she was running out in Indonesia, in Bali. So I was like, right, I'm done with film, put all my stuff in storage, bought a one-way ticket out there and was helping her with her social media and editing and just kind of pitching in and helping on everything on the business. One of the things was helping her write her website copy. And that's when I discovered that I was good at writing. Like, she kind of pointed it out to me and I didn't even, you know, it's one of those things where it's like writing to me is just like breathing. I'd just been writing papers for the last 3 years. You know, I've been just writing since I was a kid, obsessively in journals. And I just never even identified that that was like a skill that I had, or that I never identified as a writer as a part of.
You didn't make a connection between journaling. Isn't that fascinating?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And it's so often the case when we are operating out of one of our genuine gifts that we don't think of it as anything special at all until someone says, you know, you can get paid for that. And you're like, wait, what? It's just what we do. And they're like, not everybody can do that. Trust me.
And yeah, it was really one of those moments. And she had another couple of friends who were out there who were writers, who were digital nomads. And I was like, I'm very intrigued. And so I asked them about it. And I was literally, you know, it was just in meeting another writer who was doing it and asking her questions. And she asked me a few questions to see if I really was a writer. And I was like, we'd both agreed that I really am. And that this was totally possible for me. And she just outlined how she'd kind of set up a freelance career as an editor. And so that's how I started, just through one of those freelance websites. And so I went in. So the opportunity with my friend, that whole thing like came crumbling down, which apparently is often the case when you come to Bali. Like, you seem to come there for one reason and then your whole world gets shaken up upside down. And then you discover you're there.
That is the classic scenario.
And so I was, yeah. And so I was, you know, I was really not well by that point, because I'd been to Burning Man that summer as well. And just, you know, I was traveling and like living my usual saying yes to everything life after working a summer in film to try and pay off some of my credit card debt. And plus traveling across the other world, you know, across the other side of the world, this really humid climate, then all the stress with like the business crumbling and the thing that I'd come out there for not working out. I was not in a good place. And I just had to bide myself some time to really rebuild my health. And, you know, this opportunity to get writing work online was kind of my ticket out of there, because I didn't even have enough money to get back to where my life was previously in the West.
Oh.
And I didn't have the health to work in anything else. So yeah, it was really, my back was up against the wall. And I was like, I got a one-way flight to India, and I just holed away in a cheap hotel in the foothills of the Himalayas and rested and rebuilt my health and slowly figured out how to start getting writing clients. And it, you know, only took me a few months before I had tons of clients, and then I had enough money to go back to the West. And
where did you find them? I mean, I've been to India. I mean, it's not like you're going to walk down the street and find clients. But how did you? I mean, you're in a process of healing. It's all online. But how did you even know where to look?
I did it all on Fiverr. It was that website. It's similar to Upwork.
I'm familiar with Fiverr,
which is for freelance creatives. And I just started posting like $5 gigs for editing work and for writing gigs, and just saw what other people were doing and just, you know, tweaked my profile, put up a bunch of gigs and started booking things. And then, you know, getting my ratings up and more people started reaching out to me. And that's when I discovered copywriting, because people started asking me if I could write, pieces of copy. And I just would pretty much say yes to everything that came my way and then figure out how to do it. And like Google, how do you write?
You've got a well-developed habit of that. that default yes just keeps showing up, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, and then that's when I discovered I kind of had this knack for copywriting, and I took a course in it. And I started attracting a lot of coaches as clients. And that's, you know, I wrote for over 1,000 different clients in all different types of online businesses. And that's when I saw, and, you know, I really saw that you can have a business in anything that you're passionate about, as long as you can put it into words and put a website up and, you know, find a way to reach other people who agree with you and that what you're doing is valuable and exciting. You can really build a business around anything. And that really like opened my eyes. And obviously I learned a lot about digital marketing in the online world. And all of these coaches were asking me to write copy for them. So they would always send me reference links of, you know, successful people in their particular niche or industry. So I got to see all of these incredible coaches doing amazing things and, you know, inevitably ended up in a coaching program. And that's
naturally
when I discovered, you know, mindset work and it all kind of evolved from there.
You know, what's funny is that there's so many of us who find our way onto the entrepreneurial path without ever having intended to be there. In fact, I think unless you grew up in an entrepreneurial family or it's something that, you know, you knew that you could work for yourself from childhood, most people sort of land on this path accidentally. And we don't really know what we're doing. We don't really know what's possible. We don't know what we can get paid for. We have to go through all of the, you know, is this even a thing? And why would anyone pay me for this? Anyone can do this. Oh, actually, not everyone can do this, but I can really well. And people like it. And it's so fascinating to see how that process unfolds and where you are now as a coach and helping other people actually create an aligned business doing something they love that they probably never even thought in the past they could get paid for and be location independent. I mean, it's such a beautiful story, but I think what's so exceptional about you is that you went from someone who said yes to everything with no regard for your needs, your mental health, your well-being, probably didn't get much sleep and, you know, crossing time zones and all of that. But you, and I think you even used this expression, you just wanted to juice. I say, I want to, before I leave this life, I want to juice the orange and then swallow the seeds and eat the rind. I don't want to leave anything behind. I want to make the most of this existence before I move on. And I think that that sort of nature is to be passionate and to be aware and to be curious and to follow your interests wherever they may lead you. But we always seem to learn the hard way that we do need to somehow pace ourselves or have some sort of guardrails, because inevitably, if you say yes to everything, you're saying a big fucking no to you. And your body will eventually ramp up the symptoms until it gets your attention. But what I also love is that you took saying yes to everything and burning out, and you transformed it into saying yes to opportunities, not knowing how they would work out. I mean, getting paid for $5 gigs does not sound like a fast path to success to me or anyone else, but you gave yourself the opportunity, try this, try this, try this, try this. Okay, tweak this, increase your rate for this, charge a little more for this. How about this? How about this? And that is exactly how one yes at a time you found your path to where you are now and are doing it well enough to actually teach other people do the same. So I think the default yes initially maybe was taking you down an unhealthy path, but now it seems to be taking you exactly where you need to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's one thing that you are kind of primed for when you go into the film industry. It's like you have to say yes to every job offer you get. Because if you say no, no one will ever call you back and that would be a missed opportunity and then you'll never work again or blah, 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 blah. Which, you know,
Is that actually true or is that a rumor?
No, it's not true. I already started to disprove that because, you know, especially in Vancouver, I got to have that experience of there is just so much work and it's a little bit of a smaller pond. Just the city is smaller in size and there was always so much work. And I think if you're good and you're willing to work, there'll always be work for you. And so I had to start proving that to myself that I could say no if I like wanted to actually have a weekend off or, you know, do something with my friends. And I feel like that's been a big part of my reconditioning is just that it's a scarcity narrative, right? That idea that if you say no to an opportunity, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, as long as you're willing to continue to show up, there will always be another opportunity. They're like waves on the ocean. Like yes. they will keep coming. If you stay in the water, you will catch one because it's such a scarcity narrative that you get just that you can't say no, because that's really what boundaries are, isn't it? And being able to prioritize other things like your health and relationships or other things that you enjoy other than
or better clients or making more money for your gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's a really, really important shift that you've made, that I've made, and that both of us teach other people to make, is to go from that belief that maybe there isn't quite enough, or I don't know if I can get enough of it. Maybe someone doesn't believe there's enough out there, or maybe someone else believes there's plenty out there, but there isn't enough for me, or I don't have what it takes to acquire it or to hold on to it or what have you. But to be able to get that person to the point where they can, with discriminating awareness and in alignment with their needs and goals and preferences, say yes to some things and no to others and feel really good about it and have no fear about doing it, that is freedom. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally. And sometimes it's you have to start saying no to things in order to create the space for the things that you actually want to come in. And I think that's something that holds a lot of people back, or that a lot of people think is scary about entrepreneurship or, you know, other creative career paths. Is that like willingness to be in the waiting and to keep showing up and to keep hoping and to, you know, go through the risk of being disappointed or having to wait an uncomfortably long amount of time until you get what it is that you want. But
what we will do to avoid uncomfortable emotions, right?
Yes.
That may be the most important thing of all. I mean, being willing to sit in your uncomfortable emotions without trying to resist them, push them away, buffer from them, distract yourself from them. Just recognize it's all part of the process. This is not just going from high to high to high. It's like high, low, medium, high, low, 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 a little bit of high, more medium. It's a long game, and nobody promised you any of it was going to be easy. In fact, it would probably be boring if it was easy. But if mm-hmm. you are not able and willing to tolerate discomfort, self-employment is probably not the path for you. Not that it's not uncomfortable being exploited working for others too, but we are generating so much of the uncertainty. And I think it's just, I love entrepreneurs. I love being one. I love networking with others, getting to know other podcasters who are entrepreneurs, and serving people that have made the commitment to living with that uncertainty because of the freedom and the opportunity that is also part of it. To me, that's irresistible, and there's no going back. I'm sure you would agree at this point, you are unemployable. I know I am.
Yeah, oh, 100%. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing, for sure.
That's a beautiful way to finish. How can people find you online and get to know more about you and what you're up to?
Thank you. You can please come and listen to my podcast, Creative Magic Club, on all the places. You can find all my socials, all my work on at withsarahmack.com. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the places. Please reach out, come and follow me and join in the conversation.
And Creative Magic Club is a lot of fun, and it's got beautiful graphics. You'll find it very easily. It's quite bright and magical looking. Before we say goodbye for now, Sarah, what's next for you? Do you have some, I know you're multi-passionate and you probably have something in the works. Is there anything you'd like to share with us before we go?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited. I'm relaunching my course, Tell Stories That Sell, which is basically everything I learned in my getting to my first six-figure year as an entrepreneur in my coaching business. So the particular focus on sharing your story, getting really clear on the offer that you're most excited to share, how to share it in really fun ways and not burn out in the process. So I'm relaunching that this month. And I also have a mastermind and one-on-one coaching for anyone who's interested in learning more. Please reach out.
Fabulous. I will make sure that we have links to all that juicy goodness as well as where to find you in the socials. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today and sharing your magic with our audience. I know there are going to be people that are very inspired by you and will want to get to know you better.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my absolute pleasure.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.